his hand, smiling, praising God. He heard the preacher talk about a man who was born in poverty. Wise men brought riches to the lowliness of his cradle. Talked about a man that was born a helpless baby, but yet spoke spinning world into existence. Sustained the mighty pillars of the universe by his own word. Talked about a man who as an infant frightened the king. As a boy, confused the scholars. As a man, made the angry storm be still. Quieted the water, hushed the sea, until it lay down upon the bosom of his gentle command. He heard that preacher talk about a man Herod couldn't kill, Satan couldn't seduce, sin couldn't stand, sinners couldn't resist, death couldn't destroy, and the grave couldn't hold. Talked about a man who died for the sins of the world. Opened the doors of the church, I want to surrender, no harm to the Lord. That little boy, he got up. Tears in his eyes. He got up, gave the preacher's hand, surrendered his heart to the Lord. Joy was flowing like a river. He confessed with his mouth, believed in his heart. God raised him from the dead. That boy got saved, shouting at the altar. Church caught on fire. Everybody was praising God over this soul. Ain't God all right? Time got away from the little boy. It was 2:45. He said, I got to go. I got to beat my daddy home. He started running. He started running. But when he got home, his father was on the porch with his belt in his hand. Said, where have you been? He said, Daddy, don't beat me. Some good happened. I invited Jesus in my heart. Don't beat me, Daddy. The father said, son, what did I tell you that I was going to do to you? If you went to that church, he said, Daddy, you said you were going to beat me. But Daddy, some good happened. I invited Jesus into my heart, Daddy. I'm saved. Father said, get in this house. Put your hand on that dresser. Father said, Daddy, you gon' beat me for inviting Jesus in my heart. Please don't beat me, Daddy. The father said, I told you. What did I tell you? Beating the boy. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? I was gonna do to you. Welcome, Mark. Started coming on the boy's back. Kept beating that boy.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observe every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observe every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to walk around through that, but I want to look at verse 13 as our launching scripture. Philippians 3, verse 13. Recorded are these words: Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. As we look at these words that Paul has uttered here, there is much, much to be gained from this particular verse, especially in reference to his personal pursuit of intimate and experiential knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, both of his resurrection and of his suffering. Paul pursues this knowledge in a highly desirable manner. Paul is interested in not just simply knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus, but actually having an intimate knowledge with him. And you're going to discover that Paul has shared how he has been in pursuit of this knowledge at the cost of it costing him everything. He wants us to recognize that he's given up everything in pursuit of this knowledge. He wants us to know that he was a very accomplished man, one who had gained great notoriety. He had great honors. If you look in verses 5 through 7, he makes clear all of the things that he could brag about and boast about. But in verse 8, we discover that he chooses to remove all of those things from his life so that he would be able to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and all the knowledge that's necessary to bring him into that high place of God, with everything being focused on him and removing all distractions. He said he count all of those things as loss. He uses a word in that 8th verse called dung. he counted as dung. He's saying it's as if it is worthless, valueless. And the word is a word that we, of course, use for feces. It is when excrement has come from the body. It is no longer useful. It is no longer productive. And once exiting the body, it is of no value anymore to you. He says that's how he feels about everything he has accomplished up till now. Now, when I say this, my brothers and sisters, Paul is trying to make clear to us that if you really want to know Jesus in an intimate way, because he says, and to know him, and he uses two actual words here. One is genosko and the other is genoskian. And one means intimate knowledge from the Hebrew word yada in the Old Testament, where it refers to Adam knowing Eve. It's a intimate, it is an intercourse intimacy. I mean, really intimate knowledge. But then he says, and to know him. And so it is then this knowledge that he wants to know, not just in general, but in reference to Jesus. You see, a whole lot of us just want book knowledge, but we don't want to know Jesus himself, who has made all of the knowledge plain and available to us. And that has to come through your experience with Jesus Christ. You know, one of the reasons why church folk don't get close to the Lord is because everything they know pretty much comes out of a book and not out of their experience. You have got to learn that the book simply introduces you to the knowledge so that you can invite the Savior into your heart, into your life, and the instructions by which the book reveals is that platform by which you operate. And the closer you get to him, listen, through the word, the closer he gets to you by coming into your life and living through those words. And so it's important to recognize Paul is making clear, I want to know him and the power of his resurrections. I want to know in resurrection. I want to know him and in his sufferings. And I've shared with you before, the way that you really get to know a person is not when it's good, not when they're up, not when things are well, but when they're going through. You see, because there are things revealed when a person is going through that's not revealed at any other time. And see, when you're there with someone who's suffering and going through, you begin to know them because there are no pretenses, there are no performances, there are no masquerades. You begin to know the real person, the real feelings, the real thoughts. And Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. He said, but not only that, he said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Yeah. Why does he want to know these two things? Because first of all, if he gets to know Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings and recognize what he went through, then it'll be easier for him as a believer to go through everything that he has to go through, knowing that he has dealt with Jesus and understanding that Jesus has said, what they've done to me, they're going to do to you. So if you become acquainted with understanding what they did to him, then you'll understand it's not personal when it happens to you. And so when you begin to recognize that he said not only that, but I want to know the power of his resurrection, because when I die, I want to make sure I don't stay dead. And the same power that resurrected him, I want to be confident when I close my eyes through the suffering and the pain and all that I go through as a result of living for him, that when these eyes are closed, they won't stay closed forever. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus is going to raise me also. Now, when you get to verse 13, he has already told you, listen, I'm in hot pursuit. of this knowledge. I want this more than anything else I can think of. But then notice what he goes on and he deals with, because he deals with three things in this verse. He deals with virtue, he deals with varying views, and he deals with vision, all found in this verse. Because notice here the virtue in the verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, he's being honest. He's being real. He's sharing with us the reality that although his pursuits are lofty, although the things he desires is far beyond the carnality of men and the mediocrity of Christianity, he wants an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that separates him from church folk and real believers. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to know what I'm aiming at. I want you to know what I'm shooting for. I want you to know what I'm trying to lay hold of, what I'm trying to apprehend, what I'm trying to arrest. But he says, let me be clear with you. I ain't did it yet. Because some of the things that Paul wants to make clear to us that some of us forget to leave out is while we are better than we were and more mature than we used to be and we are stronger than we were in the past, we still aren't all of that yet. But some of us will make others believe that we are more than what we are. And Paul was careful to make sure of this because he had already said in the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Paul wants you to know, I'm not trying to fool myself. He says, brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended. So he's trying to let you know. He says, I'm on my way, but I ain't there yet. I've got some things that I have overcome, but I have not yet reached my desired goal. There are some things I've given up, and there are some things I have claimed. But the truth of the matter is, I have not reached my targeted goal. But listen to what he says. He says, but there is something that I have done. He says, but this one thing I do. And I like the way Paul puts this in present terms and not in past tense. Listen to what he says. He didn't say, but this one thing I did. He says, but this one thing I do. And I want you to focus in on this because this is what every believer must do consistently to be able to move from one point to the next point, to be elevated from where you are to the next stage that God has prepared for you. He says, this one thing I do. What is that, Paul? Forgetting those things which are behind. Now, before I get into that, because that actually deals with my next point, here's what I need you to see about what Paul is saying. When he uses the word forgetting, it's important to recognize that there are certain elements about this word forgetting that the people of God must be clear about. And here it is that you might, if you're taking notes, I think it'd be helpful for you to jot this down. If Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, but the process is forgetting. He didn't say forgotten. He didn't say forget. He says forgetting, which literally means that there are three things that must happen in order to forget. The first thing is you've got to purpose to forget. You don't just forget to forget. Especially, look at what Paul is dealing with. Paul is talking about all of the wonderful things that has happened in his life, all the accomplishments, all of the things that he could brag on, all of the things that he could become puffed up in. But listen at this, there is a flip side of that, to that reality. All of the disappointments, all of the distractions, all of the disturbances, and all of the things that try to destroy you, all of those things, if they are in your past, you must purpose to let them stay in your past. There are people today, believers today, who have had things to happen to them last year, year four last, 5 years, when they were children, that they still have not been able to forget. And so what happened in the past is still present with them today, because they're remembering them as if they had just happened today. Now listen at this. Whether it's good or it's bad, if it happened in the past and it's keeping you from getting to where you're going to, leave it in the past. The first thing you need to do about dealing with your past is purposing to leave it there. I'm not going to keep thinking about this, good or bad. I'm not going to keep going back down memory lane, looking at pictures and looking at wind and looking at old videos and looking at old trophies and looking at all the I'm going to put all of that in the past where it happened at. I'm purposing not to go back down memory lane. All right. Now, because there are times you don't decide to go down memory lane. Things happen and the thought pops up. But because you purposed that you're not going to revisit that, when they pop up, you knock them down. That's in the past. That's in the past. You know, I mean, you just don't bring it in the present. You purpose to put it there. But then secondly, in order to purpose something, it means you have to take a position. Position. Number two, position. Your position is to purpose that no matter what, good or bad, right or wrong, up or down, if it's been in my past and it's keeping me from my future, I'm going to forget about it. And that means every time it comes up, I knock it down. My position is I'm looking forward, not behind. My purpose is to forget those things that the enemy wants me to stay caught up in, not for my good, but to keep me from the good beyond this good that God has for me. And then the third thing about this is the forgetting is the process. I have to purpose to position myself to go through the process. Because don't think it's going to be easy. It is a process. Sometimes it's a painful process. Sometimes you have to deal with it several times in a day, a week, a month, a year. Sometimes it just seems like it wants to remain on the forefront of your consciousness. And so forgetting is a position you are taking. I'm not going to entertain anything that keeps me locked to my past. Now keep that in mind, because forgetting is a reason why it is in the continual mode of operation. Forgetting. And listen, it's important to recognize he makes clear all those things that are behind. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, no matter how great, grand, and spectacular those things were, they are behind you. Ever get to see some old men sit down and talk, and they start talking about, oh, when they were a young man and when they played, you know, and don't watch football with them and they happen to have played football and stuff. And they take you back 30, 40, 50 years of when they played football that didn't even look nothing like football today. And, you know, and all of that, man, all of the man, they get to performing and putting on, and then they out of breath when they get through performing that. I mean, they're the greatest players on the couch, and they could tell every player about what they didn't do and should have done. And I don't see no trophies, no NFL Super Bowl rings, and no accomplishments that they made, but they're living in their glory days that benefit them not. And so many of us are like that on many different fronts. But let's look at the varying views, because he's not just talking about one view when he says those things which are behind. He's talking about, in that view, a rear view. Rear view. Too many believers are driving forward, looking back. Too many of us are trying to get ahead, but they are stuck looking back in the past. The rear view doesn't help you. You've got to purpose, position, and process this thing out of your present. If you do that, then there's only one view next, and that's the preview of what's coming. You see, if you spend more time in the past, then you spend very little time thinking about what's coming. The Lord, everything righteous and right about looking ahead, is always before you and not behind you. You've had some terrible things to happen to you, but it's behind you. God brought you out of this. God brought you beyond this. Now your focus should be ahead and before and not behind, because the best is before you. And don't think that because some of the best things that you've experienced thus far are behind you. Listen, those things are just preparing you for the better things that are ahead of you. You've got to recognize that what God did once, he can do again. Stop crying, whining, worrying about the things that you don't have, you've lost, you've let go, that's walked away from you, etc. You've got to look at the fact that sometime God is cleaning your palate, and God is cleaning your storage, and God is getting you ready for the onslaught of the things that he's getting ready to bless you with. And so you should have a mindset of, I'm excited. Everything that could have cluttered and made difficult for new stuff to enter in has now been cleared out of the way. I'm waiting for a delivery any day now for the Lord to bring the best that is yet to come into my life. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important to recognize Paul is saying that we've got to stop looking back, forgetting. But then he uses another word that has a continual motion in it, and he says reaching forth. And that is, we should always be in the posture of looking forth for the vision of the things to come. Listen. If they hadn't happened yet, then that means it is a setup for it to happen now. In other words, what has not yet been or is and was, listen, has played its role. Now you're looking for the next level and for the next stage of God operating in your life and through your life. And for your life. And so your expectation should be one of faith, looking forward to the greater things that God has before you. Anything you give up for him, He's going to multiply it for you in your future. Anything you give up for God, you sacrifice for God, you sow for God, he's going